You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
That's right. You are getting a little bit of around the NFL here. We're live at the Houston Methodist Training Center for Houston, Texas training camp. It looks like
wrapping up.
We're wrapping it up. All the people come to the center of the field to break it down, which means we are on Henry Tolotolo watch, number 39 in your programs. The linebacker for the Texans will be joining us today. Before we get there, we will go around the NFL, and it is worth noting that we were asking, hey, man, we done gone through, how many, six, seven practices? And ain't nobody scrapped? And I don't know that we still have an answer on, like, a full scrap, but we got a little bit of a tussle. Because I do like the varying hierarchies of, like, ways that you can describe fighting.
Yeah.
And this wasn't, like, this wasn't no brouhaha. This wasn't no real fight. But I think tussle.
It was you
right.
Push, I push. Yeah, you push again, I push again.
A little bit of a shoving match.
And
I still
everybody.
Don't I couldn't identify who was happening.
Mixed it up pretty good, but not necessarily a big.
Was it Josh Simmons type of pushing?
That is exactly where we're going to go. Look, you saw the segue that I was trying to set up for myself. Apparently, Russ Yeast was in it. I don't know if we have the other guys, but the defensive guy involved was a scrappy young fella in Russ Yeast who's trying to make
it. We've talked about him a couple times.
That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense. Hey, man, come with a little bit of energy, baby. Let's raise the level of intensity out here. So, yeah, they're definitely. I think that's like a game doesn't – or a playoff series doesn't start until someone wins on the road.
Yeah.
Training camp don't really start until you get a little bit of pushing and shoving.
Exactly. I totally agree. And it's officially on. Here's the other part about that. They were clock watching like crazy at the end. This was a long practice. And they were getting a little bit, all right, I got to get out of here. A little bit frustrated. A little bit hot, a little frustrated. Very understandable.
I see you 281. Fisticuffs is best, but it doesn't fit here. But fisticuffs is a good synonym for scrapping out there. All right, let's go around the NFL. I mentioned a little bit of pushing and shoving. Training camp don't start until you get a little bit of that. It seems like training camp has officially started in St. Joe for the Kansas City Chiefs. Josh Simmons, as Figgy mentioned, you're right on the nail. Josh Simmons, the tackle out of Oregon that was drafted by Kansas City. What was that, 32? Was that 32? Or 31?
Yeah.
They were literally 31, obviously. That's what it would have to be. That's a guy that we were looking at. We talked a lot about when we were talking about offensive line guys, and he was dealing with that torn patella tendon that really pushing people off. It seems like he has, one, been antsy out there, you know, or like feisty out there, but two, there's been a lot of praise for Josh Simmons. He is already starting, like, with a starting lineup of offensive linemen out there. It feels like there's been a lot of praise for him. He's been effective. They might have gotten a steal in the 30s and an offensive tackle.
And you just mentioned what I was thinking. Keep in mind that he's going against some pretty good guys out there.
Yeah, George Karloftis.
He's going against some pretty good guys out there. So, yeah, I'm with you. And, boy, wouldn't that just stink to get a guy like that on that defense?
Man.
What do you look intent on something right now.
No, I'm trying to find our guy Tolotolo. Yeah, see if he's coming.
All right, so yeah,
get a heads up.
No, but I found that to be intriguing because again, that's going to be one of those guys that, you know, we always look back at previous drafts and we go, should you have?
Yeah,
I think that Josh Simmons is already making a case for the idea of there's going to be a number of teams that we're looking for offensive linemen.
Yeah,
that might have an opportunity to look at Josh Simmons and go, damn, we left him on the table. So some other things that are happening. Earlier today, we learned of another Bengals running back castoff, which, of course, like Joe Mixon, then gets people's ears going. Zach Moss has been released from the Bengals, and so he ends up out there on the street. He was dealing with a neck injury that kind of took the remainder of his season last year. Does Zach Moss give you any level of interest whatsoever, especially as we're looking at this running
back?
Well,
group? Right now, until you find out, you know, for sure who's looking good, first of all, once preseason begins, and status, you know, how much into the season, or is it even into the season, is Joe Mixon, you know, going to be brought along slowly? You're looking at everybody, aren't you?
I guess.
Yeah.
I feel like this one I don't put on the short list. Mm-hmm. There's kind of parts of the body that I don't think stop ailing you. And necks and backs, especially how fundamental they are to your corporeal form and your health.
Mm-hmm.
A trick neck don't stop tricking is what I like to say. And that one feels like dangerous territory for Zach Moss. So, I know that people kind of got interested there. That's not the big Bengals news on the day. The big Bengals news on the day.
He's back, baby.
He is back. They have got the Bengals and Mike Brown somehow win, I think. Or maybe you view it differently. Trey Hendrickson, big-time pass rusher, was looking to get paid along with, like his peers, like you saw Myles Garrett get his money. T.J. Watt eventually gets his money. But Trey Hendrickson has not yet. He thinks that there's going to be a level of good faith, I imagine, in returning to practice. But he stops the $50,000 a day fines that cannot be wiped away. Remember in the past that you could be able to, you know, kind of waive those fines. Those fines will remain for him. And, I mean, he just stops the fines that he's getting. He will return to camp. But he did not, at least yet, receive that ultimate goal of getting the paycheck that he was wanting. Is this the right decision to make for Trey Hendrickson?
I think it's the decision the right decision to make, because I think they're getting close. I think you talked about good faith. I think that's what it is. They feel like maybe the parameters are in place and he's going to get paid. I wouldn't be surprised if we hear something today or tomorrow.
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
I know I've seen a lot of people say that this is the right decision, right? Like you're going up against an ownership. They kind of don't care at some point. The thing that they care about most is trying to establish dominance, set precedent. We've seen that specifically with this offseason with the likes of Shamar Stewart, where, you know, they made it very clear. They wanted to set precedent in getting an avenue to claw back guaranteed money should they have the opportunity to. And in this way, I don't think they wanted to have to pay that big money. But I thought that the reason why Trey Hendrickson would have a level of leverage here is that this is a team that has aspirations of being good. They have a very clear clock on Joe Burrow. Mm-hmm. They just paid big money for their wide receivers. When you talk about T. Higgins, you talk about Jamar Chase. And so that defense continually being not good enough is a huge problem when you look at what the AFC is. And he, meaning Trey Hendrickson, is a large part of that. So I thought he would have a lot of, a lot of power here in a holdout. It seems like, unless you're right and they already have kind of gotten themselves close,
the parameters,
and they just need to
get
this over the goal line,
this
feels like one of those things that really hurts me as someone who likes looking at labor negotiations from a player perspective.
Yeah.
Because if you can't win this one, right, like that's where my brain goes. If you can't win this one, which are the ones that you actually can win, at least against the Bengals?
I'm kind of laughing because, what I just said is generally the case for most NFL teams. You know, once the guy gets into camp, you got to figure that the deal is very, pretty much about to go over the goal line. But this is not most NFL teams, as we all know. So maybe I'm wrong, but generally that's what I would believe.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking about. It's worth noting, we got football tomorrow.
We do. How about that?
I had completely forgotten that until yesterday. We have football tomorrow. Hall of Fame game is tomorrow. And we know at least one of the starters, quarterback-wise. Did you realize that Trey Lance plays for the Chargers?
Trey Lance is starting.
So Trey Lance will start for the Chargers versus the Lions in that exhibition game. On a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you for Hall of Fame game football?
Well, 10 for now.
That's not a genuine 10. It's not a genuine 10.
Because I don't know how much of it I'm going to watch, but you know I'm getting in on that. You're getting in on that only because it's like –
It is football.
It's football, and after a long drought, yeah. I mean, in any other circumstance, maybe a two, but today.
You don't want to see if Trey Lance can put it all together?
I think I'm good on that, but I want to watch some football. That's for dang sure.
That's fair enough. I can understand how you get to that space. But, yeah, that's something that is happening out there. I guess this is kind of a nice thing to see, and I wanted to kind of an uplifting story because, anytime you have an opportunity to do that, you can. Yes, Dallas did let Trey Lance go. He is with the Chargers. They have Joe Milton, Dallas now has, as a backup. So they still have opportunities to try and bench Dak, as their fans tend to do from time to time. But this is worth noting, a AFC foe, but we're all teammates in a fight against cancer, are we not? Jaguars defensive end Josh Hines-Allen, he announced something really cool, which is that his son, who has been in a battle with cancer, his 7-year-old son, He's announced that he is in full remission and in the final stages of his treatment plan, which is always cool to see.
What was it? I saw it and I can't remember. Was it leukemia? I don't remember, but yeah, I mean, come on, who doesn't feel really, really good about something like that, especially with a child and so public like that?
Yeah, for sure. Let's see, from the 832 here on the text line, would you pick up a flyer on Breece Hall, who seems like he might not be the guy in New York?
I always used to like Breece Hall.
I did as well.
Yeah, I think that would be something. Again, you're looking at everybody. I'm looking at Woody Marks right now signing autographs, and that guy's got some lower body strength. Let me just put it that way.
Solid
some,
base.
Those are some trunks, man. Those are some tree trunks that he's got. But good for him signing a lot of kids' autographs here as they exit the field, and we're waiting for. We're waiting for Henry To'o.
We are waiting for Henry To'o to sit down and join us. That'd be really cool to have a conversation. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. And on the other side, I believe we'll be able to sit down with the linebacker for your Houston Texans, Henry To'o. So that's a little bit of around the NFL. And we'll talk to Henry To'o next in the Loop on Sports Radio 610.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center for Houston, Texas, Training Camp 2025. And what a treat. Practice is over for the day, but we're sitting down with the man number 39 in your program. His name is Henry To'o. Henry, what's happening, man?
Yo, what up, what up?
Hey,
wow,
man.
What a day.
That was a big one.
Dude.
That was damn near a game out there.
It was, and that's where I wanted to start. I was telling Reggie, you know, maybe you guys took it a little personal that the offense had a little success the last couple days.
Man,
but you guys put it on them today.
Look, every time we step on the field, we see red. I ain't gonna lie. I think that's everybody's goal when we step on that field is to hit somebody and make some big plays.
Oh, man, and you guys did a number of that, including yourself. You got your hand on the football. You caught it. You went the other way. There was a big deal, and I know you talked about it with the Assemble Media earlier this week. You and Aziz going and working out with your secondary. For one, I know that it's, you know, let's start here. You guys in coverage in the linebacker room, that's something that I know from the outside looking in, we've been looking at. Like, what has been the process for you in working on your coverage, and how far do you feel like you've come in this offseason?
Man, I feel like I've come a long way, and I think that just comes with the understanding of our defense and what we play.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some time to develop in Coach Miko's system to know exactly what he wants and how it looks. But then when you got great vets in there like Aziz, and we have good guys like EJ, adding EJ in the group, and then Christian coming back, we all kind of gel off of each other and pick each other's brains, so we're able to just learn one little thing from each other. So I think just spending time with those guys and then adding their little thoughts into my game, it really helped me.
What about, you know, you talk about working in pass coverage, working with DBs and stuff. You always hear these catchphrases. He's got good hips.
Yeah.
He can track the ball.
Yeah.
You know, all he can – were those real things that you could sense that you were improving on?
Yeah. I think that's a big thing. I work on my hips every single offseason. I work on ball skills every single offseason. But I think for me, you know, I've always been athletic my whole life. You know, I've played football since I was young. But I think it's just me getting comfortable being in the NFL, having my third year, you know, playing all last year, and then gaining confidence and coming out here and doing that today.
Yeah.
One of the things I love, though, is I feel like DBs, they're a different type of dude.
Yeah.
What was the most fun thing, or what was the thing that you kind of learned? I knew you were working with them all the time.
Yeah.
What was the thing that you kind of got to feel working with them individually in a while?
Man, I think just tracking the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, us linebackers, we think about smashing, hitting something, going downhill, and making a kill shot. But the DBs have just a unique way of when the ball is in the air, or even when the ball is having a straight shot, of playing the ball instead of the guy.
I want to go back to last year for a second because, you know, there was a lot of transition in the linebacker room. Yep. There were some injuries and such. And I'm not trying to blow smoke or whatever, but you saved this team's bacon. You saved their bacon a couple of times, a lot. In fact, did you – you know, people talk about the game slowing down, your next year in the league.
Yep.
Did it just get easier? What helped you rise to the occasion like last year?
Yeah, I think – I say this all the time when I tell everybody. I didn't have the rookie year I wanted to have. I came in, you know, with high expectations for myself, and I didn't excel how I wanted to excel. So I took that whole offseason. I took it personal. Mm-hmm. I lost a lot of weight. I worked out with my dad, my lifelong coach, and just hit the ground running ever since that last game we played versus Baltimore after my rookie year.
Yeah.
But, man, it was just all hard work. I think that was the biggest thing. And being pissed off of a narrative of that this guy from Alabama can't play football. So that kind of pissed me off.
First of all, a guy from Alabama not playing football, I don't know who says
yeah,
that.
Yeah, who are the people saying that?
I don't know
who says
that. I heard some guy. I don't know who says that. But secondly, like to me, I'm just going to be completely honest. We talk on the radio every day. I was a little bit surprised, and that's what you wanted. I mean, like you had a role, but you expanded that role.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what went on into that?
It was just taking that and running with it. Yeah. I think just building confidence as the season went. Mm-hmm. And you know, for me, and I'll be honest with it, it took me to realize that this is my life. Like, football is my life. This is how I feed my wife. Mm-hmm. This is how I feed my dog, and then support my parents back at home whenever they need it.
Yeah.
So it took me to realize that this is the only way I'm going to be able to make money for the next couple years. So why not, you know, invest myself in now and take this as serious as I can? So yeah. I think that was the biggest thing.
Was there a particular moment that clicked for you that had you had that epiphany?
Yeah, that offseason. I mean, I've never played football, and I was on the sideline for so long, you know, my rookie year. And and that's not saying nothing to nobody, but
yeah, you were just
that
ready.
Was just, you know, myself, my confidence, and that just kind of built up into me having a great offseason and surrounding my guys around, like, Aziz and listening to his story and how he works and just implementing into that to my game.
Now let's talk about this defense, because what a day you guys had today, at least from where we were sitting.
Yep.
Just really dominating. You know, some guys have said – who was it that said, we don't want to be one of the best, we want to be the best? I think it was Kamari.
I think
it was Kamari said that. Is that on the table?
Oh, man, we have high standards for us. We came in the first day setting the standard high. Mm-hmm. And we know what we're capable of. We have a lot of talent in the room. And as long as we all play our part, do your job, and swarm to the ball, mm-hmm. I think we can make Kamari's statement true.
How does that accountability manifest itself? We were making kind of light. We saw the offensive linemen. They got out there, and they were doing push-ups to hold that accountability. But, I mean, you guys hold each other accountable. It's very clear. How does it manifest itself?
I think it's just a testament to what we do, man. We go out every single day knowing that if our job has to be done. Mm-hmm. And if we do our job, performances like that comes to fruition. So
what happens when you don't, though?
Oh, man, it's over with. It's over with.
Is it Matt? Is it D'Amico? Who is it?
It's everybody. We're all pissed off. And we know if one guy's off, it's like, damn.
Yeah.
And that's all it takes. It's just one guy to not do his job, and a big play happens. So we know that all 11 guys have to be on the same page. So we meet a lot. We talk about it a lot in our meeting rooms.
Yeah.
So we're doing a really, really good job so far.
C.J. Gardner-Johnson was on the sideline today saying that was belt to ass. He said that was belt to ass.
So, hey, y'all gonna hear him.
Well, that's where I'm going. You already had the culture. You already have people like yourself, Aziz, other players, Will, Daniil. But then you bring this guy in.
Yeah.
Is it making – what kind of difference is it making?
Oh, man, he's big time for us, man. He's like the
– belt to ass.
He's belt to ass. He's like that key to your engine. He's going to turn you on. He's going to get you fired up.
Yeah.
But, man, he's been a big time addition. Not only him communicating, but how he plays the game of football, how he loves it, how he talks about it, and how he goes about his day. Man, we love that guy.
Some people say, you know, flamboyant, loud, boisterous. Oh. They interpret that the wrong way.
Yeah, man.
I mean, but that doesn't seem to be him. No. It's just what he is on the field.
That's football.
Yeah.
That's how he plays football. And in my opinion, I think they're all tripping. They're all tripping. They're stupid. They don't know what they're talking about.
Now, you worked with the secondary. We're talking to Henry Toto. Actually, let me stop. We're talking to Henry Toto here in the loop. And I usually say this as somebody who has a name that gets messed up from time to time. Can you give me, like, the proper full pronunciation of your name? Because I'm good at mimicking, but I want to make sure I get it right.
It's Toto.
Toto.
Yeah.
So what's your whole name?
Henry Moses Ito Yese Toto.
Damn right it is.
Damn right it is. I love it. So you worked with the secondary. It feels like when we were making note, Kalen Bullock this year has been it feels like there's another level that he's turned up. Because I was saying, early on you could see the rookie in him last year. You saw where he was starting to get dominant and ball hawking. Have you noticed as well like a different level for him this year?
He's kind of like turning it up a notch. His mindset, how he approaches practice, how he walks out, how he talks in a meeting room, you can just tell he's developing into probably one of the best safeties that's about to be out here in this league here soon. So just that maturity part, but he understands the game so well, and he's so long and lengthy that he's able to make plays that nobody else can make.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
How ready are you, as much as you're used to this, how ready are you to get to West Virginia in 70 degrees?
Oh, man, I'm ready. This damn heat out here.
It's been brutal.
Today actually wasn't too bad.
But
it's been brutal. So I feel like we get to West Virginia, we're going to be able to run all day.
Yeah.
All right, I see you wearing the red wedding ring. You practicing the ring with the ring on?
I practice with it on. If I break my finger, I break my finger. I'll never take this off. That's how much... how much commitment I got to my wife.
I see it. I've seen it. She likes having fun on social media as well. Like, what does your wife mean to you?
Man, she means everything to me, man. That's my backbone. Growing up, I always loved my mom. Mm-hmm. And I never knew that I would be able to love a woman more than I love my mom. So being able to have that backbone, you know, the one I can go home to and lean upon when times are hard and we can celebrate the good times. So she's been everything I ever wanted in my life.
Couple more things for you. From your perspective, I want you to talk about the offense. D'Amico talked about iron sharpens iron.
Yep.
You were sharpening the hell out of that offense today. I mean, that from your perspective, you can't let up. You can't be easy. You got a job to do.
Yep.
But at the same time, what are you seeing in terms of the offense trying to catch up, so to speak?
I don't think they're trying to catch up.
Well, up to their game, to their new offense.
They're kind of. You know, our offense is so damn talented. They're just adjusting and getting to Coach Kaylee's system. But, man, our offense is so damn good. Mm-hmm. The way they pick things up so quickly, our O-line moves so fast, and we have a talented back end. So, man, us being able to go against them is only going to make us better. And it gives us an opportunity to play against one of the best offenses in the NFL every day.
So we were talking to Lakin Tomlinson yesterday, and I'm not going to lie, it was a fantastic interview, but I was a little upset. He dodged a question that I had that I thought was an easy one, so please don't do that for me here, all right? But I'm interested because you were talking about, like, feeling that you know, not playing as a rookie. What was your welcome to the NFL moment? Like, do you remember it clearly?
I think my welcome to the NFL moment, man, was – obviously not playing and how real it gets. But I remember my very first camp, I think it was like our third day of pads, and I could pull it up on film. Laramie Tunsil, he runs a screen, and he picks me up by one hand. Laramie Tunsil, I'm 230 pounds. I was heavy, 235 pounds. Laramie Tunsil grabs me with his left hand. They're running the screen the other way. He grabs me and says, I could have dipped you. I could have dipped you. And it just takes, and I look at him like,
yes, sir.
Yes, sir. My bad. My bad. I didn't mean to. Grabs me by my chest, but I was like, I could have dipped you. Look me right in the eye. I was like, all right, cool. You got it, bro.
It's funny. You've mentioned this a couple of times about sitting and the frustration. I'm putting words in your mouth, but you know, just referencing it. You know, you came from Alabama. You came from Tennessee. You know, these are monster programs. You always played. You were a big-time talent, you know, coming into college. Is that still sort of motivating you? Like I had to sit, man.
Oh, man, that drives me every single day. I think just the whole process of me getting into the NFL, I have the list of linebackers that all went before me on my phone and my notes, and I think not that drives me. But it's always on the back of my mind that people thought that 12 guys were better than me. So that's not my main driving force, but that's always on the back of my mind.
Always there.
So you clearly have some goals that you're working with, and you already checked one off. You led the team in tackles last year. Are you willing to tell us what one of your or maybe some of your goals are for this season for yourself or Henry?
I got a lot. I think I want to keep that duck down until I definitely got to get my hand on the ball.
Okay, so at least
I got to get two.
Okay, two. We got that. We're writing that one down.
And I don't want it to be a tip like I caught it the last time.
Yeah, yeah. You want to jump the route.
I got to grab it.
You want to jump the route.
I got to pause.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Yeah, fair enough. That's touche. Touche. We don't want to have you out here looking
back. I actually know what that means.
we've been schooling and we've been hipping him the game. We have been.
That's crazy. I just said that.
He's an OG. He's done this, what, how many,
30-something years. 30-something camp.
Yeah. Oh, damn.
Yeah.
You've been here for a while.
Yeah.
Damn.
And he doesn't want to carry my backpack.
Do I have to? It's my first one. Do I have to?
I ain't gonna lie. That's the name of the game. I ain't gonna lie.
But real quick, the last thing I wanted to ask you is something I've been real intrigued by. Again, it's my first camp. It's kind of given me the perspective.
Yeah.
The advice that people either you've gotten or that you've given. I know there's a couple of rooks. I saw Jalen Reed took one back for six. What is the best advice that you've had or you've heard when it comes to training camp?
I think the biggest thing in my 3 years so far having camps is that this is your job. Like, this is your livelihood. This is how you're going to make money. This is how your wife and your family is going to eat. This is how you're going to pay your bills. So just realizing that, the quicker you can realize that, and then the quicker you can be able to enjoy and play football how you normally play football. Because, man, it's all laughs and giggles until, you know, shit hits the thing and it's over with, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry for my cursing.
But, it's all good.
I think that's the biggest thing, but always have fun with it. Just, at the end of the day, always have fun with this. No matter how hard it gets, always have fun with it. Enjoy it. This only lasts for so long, so why not enjoy it and give it everything you got?
Yeah. Man, it's been our pleasure.
It has been. And
you got me wanting to do the haka, man.
Right.
You got me wanting to. You got me ready to. You got
to. Yeah. Don't let him lie
you
to you.
You done it, right?
You know, that's my culture right there.
Don't let him lie to you. He doesn't have that.
I've never done it in my life. But I have it in me once.
Yeah.
I can do it once. I just got to learn it.
And we appreciate you giving us a little bit of time. It's no wonder that this defense gets after it the way that, I mean, you talk about taking food off your plate. You're like, no, we're going to go hit somebody.
You got to go get it.
Yes, sir. We appreciate you stopping and have a great camp and a great season.
Appreciate y'all.
Yes, sir. Henry Toll sitting down with us here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, let's get into what's popping, including we are just over 24 hours to trade deadline for the Astros.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the rumors that are getting out there. We'll do that next. That's right. Let's get into what's popping here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Still live at Houston Methodist training camp, but we got to talk about some Astros. Appreciation to Henry Toll for sitting down with us, letting us know that his favorite of the uniforms that he wore last year, the all-black joints. The all-black joints. But he gave us a lot of fun sitting down with us. We appreciate him giving us a little time. The only thing I didn't appreciate, we was about to talk about some Astros, the trade deadline.
Yeah, man.
Fast approaching for the Astros, and we're getting rumors that are very, very intriguing. We know that they need a bat. We know that they have some interest in maybe some pitching. And so there's a couple of rumors that are out there that are very interesting. One of them, we were talking about a little bit in the question of the day, you know, breakups that you wish never happened.
Mm-hmm.
This does feel like the possibility to remedy one of those for the Astros, I imagine, and some Astros fans. Bob Nightingale of USA Today reporting that the Astros, with concern that, you know, Isak Paredes might be done for the season. We talked a little bit about that earlier in the week. They might be looking at Carlos Correa, the shortstop for the Twins, possibly bringing him back. He still has three more seasons after this one on that contract. But he could play third base, though, right?
I think he absolutely 100% will play third base. You don't want to mess with what you have right now with Pena. I think, obviously, he has the arm. He's versatile enough to do it. Just sort of to recap what we know so far from reporting, Bob Nightingale and others now reporting as well. Carlos Correa and the Astros sort of engaged with the Twins regarding Carlos Correa. He does have a no clause contract. No trade clause, and he would have to waive that. I don't expect that would be a big issue.
No, there was rumors before we had an actual name that there's a guy in the AL
that would be willing to waive his
no trade to get to Houston.
And the Twins are playing an afternoon game today. Carlos Correa, for what it's worth, is not in the lineup. He also left yesterday's game early And they said it was lightheadedness, which is one of those vague Astros-like, you know, things that, you know, lightheadedness. Yeah, maybe they, you know, maybe he was just delirious about coming, potentially coming to the Astros. So a lot happening with Carlos Correa, but he's not the only one.
Before we move away, I do think it is worth noting, though, as I'm looking for, I mean, Carlos Correa, we think he could play third. One thing, though, is Isaac Pereira has played a really good defensive third base in addition to being a very strong bat. I feel like defensively, I'm looking at it, Fangraphs obviously you know, does really good baseball analytics. His DRS, defensive run saved, has been steadily declining, and it was a solid negative 11 to this point this season. That's something I have concern about. And then on top of that is just the war chest that the Astros are working out of.
Yes.
If you trade for Carlos Correa, like, how much are you trading for? Now, of course, the amount of money that gets paid off of that contract or whatever will you know, it'll modulate what the get back is. But I would don't think that I'd be happy if you end up in a circumstance where you shoot your load, so to say, in large part for Correa, and you don't necessarily address some of the other circumstances that you have.
You're right. Another couple things worth noting before we move on to some of these other rumors. For what it's worth, Jacob Melton is not in the Astros lineup today, afternoon game. Now, he doesn't play all the time, so it's kind of weird, but he is a young prospect that maybe the Twins would want in return. And then one last thing, this is a non-factor if we're talking Correa, in my opinion, but I'm curious on yours. Not a left-handed bat.
No.
You know, not a left-handed bat, and that seems to be one of the things that the Astros are coveting.
Exactly, and I think that's one of the reasons why, like, this would be kind of a sweetener, but it's a big-ticket sweetener that you'd be looking for. Plus, again, I think it'd be fair, anyone who is a potential detractor from this possible deal, what do you do with him beyond this season? Because, again, Isaac Paredes, you anticipate coming back, and you still have control on him. Jeremy Peña is your shortstop.
Yeah.
You're not doing any level of movement there. You know, once Isak comes back, and obviously maybe he's not back this year, what do you do for the remaining 3 years of his contract? Is he now a second baseman for you?
Yeah.
And is he playing at a high enough level? Because you just moved a dude off of second base for maybe not playing enough defense.
And those are things that the Astros clearly are mulling. And they also are mulling, and this is on all the potential trades that we are hearing about, luxury tax. Jim Crane has never really been afraid to go over the luxury tax, but he will absolutely, especially on this one and a couple of others.
For a guy that he really likes. That has been the MO. For a Jim Crane guy, he will go to that place. We'll see if this rises to the level. What reportedly might rise to the level is Jim Crane reportedly might have a level of intrigue in starting pitcher Dylan Cease for the Padres. He has like a low fours ERA, which seems like it's off kilter for what he typically is and what we know from that name. I saw like an expected ERA number, and I know that you're rolling your eyes. Here come Reggie with these statistics again. But I think it does make sense if you look at the expected number, maybe what would happen if the defense was a little bit better for him or what have you, is in the mid threes. And that feels like that is right in the wheelhouse of end up with the Astros, go through the car wash, and then get a pitcher on the other side that you can depend on. How much are you interested in this? Because I do wonder, though, Dylan Cease does feel like he might be a big money guy that you have to get.
Another one that would fit the characterization of you are definitely going over the luxury tax, obviously. And then the other thing that intrigues me about these bigger trades, because that would be a big trade, is you're absorbing his salary. I believe it's 13 and change. 13.75, that would put you over the luxury tax, but also the cost. Clearly, you know, the Padres are in the hunt.
Yeah.
You know, they are not in sell now mode. They're just thinking about trading Dylan Cease to bolster their lineup. I mean, they're 10 games over .500 last time I looked. So you're going to have to Bryce Matthews? I mean, is
I don't even know if Bryce Matthews does.
But I'm saying, would he be in it? And so the Dylan Cease thing intrigues the hell out of me, but that's not a cheap trade by any stretch.
And mind you, Matthew's also not in the lineup today. So
yes.
Maybe they're just – I think that actually probably is just good business to give yourself opportunity and wiggle room should you be working the phones.
Mm-hmm.
But I imagine that they are looking for a guy, and mind you, it's a rental, right? Like, he is going to be a free agent, Dylan Cease. They want a guy that's going to help their big league roster.
Yeah.
As you mentioned, that's basically all the things you were talking about. They want a big league type guy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you afford to give up any big league type guys right now? Are there any big league type guys that you can afford to send?
Well, I hate to do it because he's a local guy, but I think Bryce Matthews fits that role.
I don't know if Bryce Matthews fits the role.
And whatever else might come. Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, hell, maybe, You know, Jason Alexander last night, bolster their, you know, their pitching staff a little bit.
Lopez, I said big league guys.
No, but I'm saying like more than one player. You know.
I don't think that they want a haul of high prospects. I think they want guys that will step in and be able to play. And I don't know if the Astros
Yeah, that's what I said. I mean, they're in the hunt.
I don't know if the Astros have guys that they can bring
in. So is that the sticking point with that deal? You know? We'll have to see.
Yeah, again, those are some of the names that are out there. It's going to be very, very interesting what's happening here. But it seems like also like they might be leaning very heavily into a starting pitcher. You agree with that sentiment? We've been talking about this back
both.
And forth. You think that they can get it done?
They've said
on both.
They've said, I don't know if they can get it done, but they've said both.
If they can only do one, pitcher or bat, preferably left-handed, which way do you go?
Well, I would have to say bat at this point. I don't know what you're going to get with Paredes, but you're right. It does open up in a kind of a hornet's nest of things down the road. Maybe we can just worry about that later. Another name mentioned, Brandon Lowe.
Lau, that one's
Brandon
Lau.
Brandon Lau has been mentioned.
Brandon Lau is interesting to me. He's left-handed bat, has some
left-hander.
Power, and he plays in the infield, middle infielder. He can play that second base role. And I think, if I remember correctly, doesn't he have some control left on his deal as well?
I don't remember that, but he kind of fits the profile of what this team might need in the here and now. And again, depending on what you think about this, the Astros apparently have reignited talks with the Cardinals and Nolan Arenado. That's been reported. That's not a rumor. That's been reported. I'm trying to find out exactly who did it. But that's been reported as well. So Nolan Arenado out there. Brandon Lau out there. Obviously, we just mentioned, Dylan Cease. And the big ticket in terms of Houston Astros fans would be Carlos Correa.
Okay. I'm trying to think.
That's a lot of big names out there.
Arenado's interesting because I know the defense is still good. The offense is solid as well.
Mm-hmm.
But right-handed bat, and I'm trying to remember what his deal looks like. He does have that no-trade clause, which, again, that stopped the last time that you got to the goal line with that particular deal. I think I might be in the place where Lau is the most intriguing to me, especially because of the hole that you have at second base.
For baseball and moving down the road in the next couple of years reasons, Maybe. I'm trying to figure it out here in my own head how I feel about this. He fits the profile of what they need in the here and now. But, boy, Carlos Correa would be something, man. Correa would be something.
Also for the vibes, he's definitely a vibes guy. And if you talk about leadership in that clubhouse, how do you feel about the possibility of him stepping back in and bringing some level of leadership? Because I know that some people scoff at that, but I do think that obviously that is one that you might bring up.
Oh, it would be enormous. Okay. It would be absolutely enormous. I absolutely think it would be great.
All right, some other things that are popping. I should have mentioned, we got some day baseball today. The Astros try and get a victory or get a series win over the Nationals. They got a win last night, and they were a number of situations where they were putting pitchers under pressure when they had full bases, and they were really good with runners in scoring position, getting good at bats. Does this at all, do you have any long-term takeaways from this, or was this just a good game from the Astros?
It was a good game from the Astros, but there also is a longer-term takeaway, actually a shorter-term as well. They ended up winning it, rather comfortably. As you mentioned, there was a couple of hiccups here and there. But in the early innings, they consistently went minor leaguer, minor leaguer, minor leaguer with two men on base and didn't get a run.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's where, good game, good win, but boy, this lineup. I'm trying to think. I think it was in the third inning, if I'm remembering it correctly. They had first and second, nobody out. And then you go, was it Melton? Anyway, it was three guys that are basically have been in the minor leagues, not producing with men on base. Now, that's going to happen with big league, with big-time players. But, boy, it was just sort of eye-opening. Like, those are the guys that, if you had, bigger bats, more experienced bats, maybe you're scratching out runs in those innings.
Well, you're on the cusp of having another more experienced bat. Jeremy Pena yesterday played in Sugar Land.
Yeah.
I think it was 0-for-2, but he did have a run.
Got on base twice, got hit by a pitch.
It wasn't a bad one. It grazed him, but it is funny to see hit by a pitch in the box score when that's the reason that he's having a rehab start now.
Oh, Lord.
Is that he had a ball to the ribs.
Oh, no, not hit by pitch.
And great point, 8-3-2. They weren't scared to play some small ball. They have not been up
late. That has been good.
I do appreciate that from Joe Espada, the willingness to play some small ball. Your probables for the weekend series versus the Red Sox, Hunter Brown, Colton Gordon, Framber Valdez. So you'll get at least two of those guys that you really, truly depend upon this weekend. And I don't know. I think I might be willing to go out on a limb and say that I think you see Jeremy Pena in that weekend series as well.
Yeah.
Especially with the way that he's coming back what's happening there. All right, real quick, another baseball thing to mention real quick. There's a couple of things that are odd when it comes to this time of year, trade deadline. And one of those is something that I don't know that we've seen this before, which is a pitcher who plays for two teams on the same day.
Dude, this was just so intriguing. Go ahead.
So it is Sir Anthony Dominguez, who is a reliever, at least he was, for the Blue Jays. And or did that go? Did he go Blue Jays to Orioles or Orioles to Blue Jays?
Now he went Orioles to Blue Jays.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. I thought I was getting that wrong. But they had a doubleheader on the day, Orioles and Blue Jays. He's pitching for the Orioles, or he? I think, did he make an appearance? No, he didn't make an appearance in the first game, I believe.
No, not in the first.
But he gets traded to the Blue Jays, so he's just going to go down and change locker rooms, and then they're going to come back for the second game, and he'll pitch for the Blue Jays on the same day. What a wild thing that happens this time of year.
But again, a strikeout against one of his former teammates.
It highlights once more just – like, this time of year, I try not to take it for granted. I try and take a moment at any point to remember, like, the humanity of this, mm-hmm. as much as we're like, hey, what can this player do for the team? That's a human being that is having to have their whole life uprooted in a way. In a moment, we were talking about Charlie Morton having the hugs and handshakes and everything in the dugout. In the same way, he immediately goes from, I'm here, on this side, and now I'm over there, and my entire thing is shaking up.
The visuals was just what was fascinating to me, like going around the tunnel behind, in the stadium, and going from one clubhouse to the next, and then getting out on going out to the bullpen with his new team, and his former teammates in the bullpen are clapping and giving him a hard time. Then he gets into the game and pitches there. And you talk about the visuals of it and the weirdness of it, et cetera, the humanity. Did you see what the Marlins? I think it was the Marlins did. They did the fake hug. They did fake dugout hugs just for the cameras.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they had one of their players start giving everybody hugs and kind of the hand, man, good game, good luck, all this other stuff. And then they did psych.
It's still that part of the season. Find a way to have fun.
Yeah.
However you can. And then real quick, a little fair or foul, because I see this on the run sheet. So Nick Kurtz, who at this point I'm just going to go ahead and hand him the Rookie of the Year for the AL. Supposedly, he gave Cooper Hummel an autographed bat with "Thanks for throwing a strike."
That felt foul to me. To me, I was like, "What are you doing?" That's a position player just finishing out a game. You hit a home run, then you give him an autographed bat that says "Thanks for throwing a strike." Then I saw apparently Cooper Hummel is a big time autograph guy.
He has
autographs and collects autographs from all kinds of people. So I think where I'm going to finish on this is, if he asked for it, cool. If it was kind of like a funny thing, hey, this is the day that I pitched, or whatever, all good. But if Kurtz did it unsolicited, I'm still kind of like, come on, man. Come on, don't do that, But apparently Hummel collects all kinds of autographs.
I think that's the tongue-in-cheek type of thing that you do amongst competitors. I think I'm assuming the Cooper Hummel was all in good fun. Yeah. And even if he was to get a little bit upset about it, hey, man, you wasn't doing the thing that you get paid for.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you was moonlighting. I don't think that anybody's going to – I imagine I would not get mad if I was moonlighting. If y'all had me out here, if Matt Burke took us up on our offer and was like, hey, get out here and play scout team defense, and I did something wrong, I'd be like, hey, you the one who had me out here doing something that I don't do typically.
You realize what I am, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, that was fun. And then real quick before we go, Jeremy Peña playing shortstop again – or rather, not again, playing shortstop for AAA Sugar Land. Because, remember, he DH'd yesterday. So we are really fast-tracking the idea of Jeremy Peña making it back to the big league club, which is very, very necessary and very appreciated for this Houston Astros team. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us here on a Wednesday as we're really winding down here at training camp. With that being the case, coming up next, let's get a little bit of audio from the postgame. I believe we'll be hearing from the head coach of the team. Let's do that next.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Josh Scherer.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich
free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.